welcome to That Darn Podcast, episode
7.
Maybe this will be the episode where we actually get to talk about this fucking movie. Gary's booked. He says it's an actual good guest this week. I don't know. I've been burned so many times before. We'll see if he's if this is right. But if Gary's right, this is the best guest we've ever had. We have the producer of That Darn Cat, Felix Zeman.
Yes, I am the producer of the multi-award-winning Czech Republic film series, That Darn Rat.
God,
and the associated businesses with that as well.
God damn it. I'm firing my assistant again. This is six episodes, six times I've been burned now.
Well, I don't think you should be firing your assistant. They had a very respectful, and they flew me over.
Okay, well, that's more reason to fire him.
They first class, okay, very accommodating.
He's paying for this then. This is not, I'm not paying for this.
Well, I mean,
where did he get this money?
I couldn't tell you, but, I will say that, he was very happy for the reciprocal cooking classes that we were able to provide him.
So he's now profiting off of this. This is what he's doing. He's stealing from me. And to get cooking classes.
Well, I mean, I think that that's something that you're going to have to look into.
This is the worst quid pro quo I've ever heard of. He's stealing to get cooking classes. This is the best he could get out of you is some cooking classes?
Well, he got some merchandise as well. The That Darn Rat film.
He flew you out first class. Is it That Darn Rat, like blocks of gold?
What
is worth it for this?
So you're familiar with the film Ratatouille?
Sure.
Yeah, so... our producers in the Czech Republic, we wanted to do something similar to Ratatouille, where a rat would inspire chefs and other creatives, and we wanted to get around.
Okay, so this isn't even close to That Darn Cat. This is not even like a parody of That Darn Cat or like the Czech version of this. This is nothing to do with that.
No, this is to avoid copyright infringement from Disney the Ratatouille owners.
Okay, and you're from the Czech Republic, you said?
No, I'm an American.
I was going to say the accent is not.
I changed my name to a Czech sounding name.
Sure.
To better fit in after everything. Blew up so much. It's the highest grossing film series in the Czech Republic's history.
So it made like, what, $8?
They might translate to, I think we use euros.
Eight euros.
It's a very successful and lucrative business.
Like three people have seen this movie.
It's constantly streaming.
This is you're on the same level as my podcast, the same level of success.
Well, we do what we can. That's how we are able to afford these flights. Well, I guess you're able to afford
these flights.
Okay.
I'm not affording that. I am able to. My mother is a Rockefeller, as we've established. I am independently wealthy, I am not paying for this.
Okay. Well, a good business structure is important. And as a Rockefeller, I feel like you would know that at least forming an LLC would have been advantageous for this business venture.
I don't know how to do that. I'm just trying to make a podcast where we talk about That Darn Cat. I didn't think it would be this hard. I thought it would be two episodes. There's an original and a remake. I thought that would... We're six episodes into this shit. I have not talked for one goddamn second about this movie.
Okay.
And now we've got this Eastern European guy who's never...
I will check you there. Hey, that's fun. I'm from California originally, I can't tell you my original name because you sure, yeah.
Steve.
Nope, not a Steve. But
George Bush.
Not George Bush either, but you're getting closer. But
George
it is important.
Zimmerman.
It's not George Zimmerman. It is important that I do not give you my original name because I am technically in witness protection.
Okay. Okay, this is actually something interesting. This is maybe the first interesting thing a guest has ever said.
Okay, well, yeah.
Can you say what you did?
I didn't do anything. It's okay. What I saw is really what...
less interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody says that, you know, the film series and associated things are, you know, a ripoff of Ratatouille, mm-hmm. but it's actually based on my life and okay. what I saw in the kitchens across the United States and these people that were inspiring chefs. Hold
on. You're in witness protection because you saw some health code violations?
No. Well, so the rat is more a analog or a metaphor for a series of people that had a tendency to witness things in the rat, back rooms.
The rat is a metaphor for a human being who'd stand on the head of another human being and pull his hair.
And force them to cook well. Okay. And then, you know, basically... engage in inappropriate business practices, okay. you know, very abusive.
I don't think this is illegal. I don't think you need to go into witness protection for this.
Well, they killed a guy. And
that's the illegal
part. Yeah, and, you know,
I was going to ask if you put yourself into witness protection or if this was an official government.
Yeah, and, you know, you'd be shocked that, you know, they ended up, you know, being very, you know, and they were connected is the thing, uh-huh. you know, they're two various, you know, they were working in multiple kitchens.
They're in like the mob.
Various mafias. So okay. they, you know, the Casa Nostra, you know,
they're
in Italian.
Multiple mobs?
Yeah. So a lot of restaurants are okay. owned by mafias or illicit businesses, their uh-huh. fronts. And where we were mostly working were these businesses that they were there to launder money.
Okay.
They were not good restaurants. But, you know,
should I be having you on the podcast? This feels dangerous to me.
So long as, you know, there's some very specific information I can't provide.
Okay.
But I think we're fine so far. And, you know, so we have, you know, the Italian, we have Russian, we have Japanese, we have, strangely, the Czech Republic also has...
These are the mafias.
These are the various mafias. Anybody from...
I thought these are the types of restaurants.
Well, also the types of restaurants. So if you have any restaurant, there's a chance it's got mob ties.
Does every mob have to be connected to that mob's ethnicity?
That's just usually where they start. Sometimes there's just people that are, you know, really... you know, business oriented, and they'll connect to everybody. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
You know, because
so
I was
not like necessarily a problem if like an Italian mob owns like a Chinese restaurant.
No, not at all. That's where they would bring me in. Uh-huh. And I was the go-between with all of these different restaurants that were owned by these different mobs. And we would go in and we would basically do the HR. Uh-huh. For the companies, help with the hiring, and make sure we had that rat, quote unquote, chef who was highly skilled in all of these different cuisines, coming in and teaching the people how to cook. And you know, unfortunately, the person that we chose, you know, the stress got to him, and so all of them is
one
guy
per restaurant.
No, it was one guy who was just a savant when it really comes down to it, and just really effective at cooking. So name a cuisine, he could make it. You know,
spaghetti.
He could make spaghetti. Bologna sandwich, unbelievable. Peanut butter sandwich, delicious.
Macaroni.
You know, very. You know, any sandwich, any pasta
buttered
dish.
Buttered
noodles, not as good at buttered noodles as you
toast.
Would think. Toast, you know, he had some ideas on toast that made me uncomfortable, if I'm going to be honest. You know, I don't think he respected toast in the way that most people did, because he was very, you know, those little toasties and that you can get in the grocery store, like it's the stale bread, but they say it's toast. He was just like, we'll just throw that on the plate if they ask for toast. And it's like, this is not even warm. That was very frustrating. That was one of the things that we had a lot of problems.
Is that what got him killed?
Oh, no, he didn't. He's alive. He's okay. Just killed a number of people.
Oh, so he was sitting on their heads, pulling their hair.
And metaphorically, yeah. It was more him shouting at them.
He just...
And, like, stabbing them then. He would
stab. I don't think the shouting is killing them so much as the stabbing is.
Yeah, but you know, it's you know, like
I don't think there's a coroner going like this man has been shouted at and also stabbed.
Well, I mean, there was some damage from what I remember of the investigation. There was some damage to the eardrums. Yeah. I don't think it was
not usually a fatal thing.
Yeah, but
to hear a loud noise.
But you know, it did disrupt their equilibrium, and I think that's ultimately, you know, I don't know what
maybe if he like surprised them.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
The heart conditioning jumps out.
Yeah. So, like, basically, what he would do is he would stab their arms in various points to, you know, instead of pulling the hair, to make them cook faster and use the chopping methods.
That feels inefficient.
You would think that, but it's, you only have to stab them a couple times before they get the hint, and then they speed up.
And this happens in that darn rat. The rat is stabbing people.
Oh no! In that, he's mostly running on their shoulders and arms and biting them.
Okay.
We had to do that because I guess that making it too similar to Ratatouille, even with how the rat controlled the people, would make it make us get in trouble.
You're
so
playing a really dangerous game with you're risking infuriating both Disney and the mafia at the same time.
Yeah, you know, you got to live your life.
There's two groups you really don't want to mess with.
Well, you know, the mafia has been good to me, and you know, they helped me get out.
Okay.
And you know, they were very understanding, and you know, sometimes the HR process doesn't work out. And
so I thought you were in witness protection because of the mob. It's not that the mob is after you.
Well, some of the mobs are after me. Some of the mobs, so I was like an independent contractor for the mafia. And when you're an independent contractor, you know, there can be some degree of confusion when it comes to what you're supposed to do and what they need you to do. And so in some instances where this guy came in, he was their primary chef, or you know, instructing the sous chefs and what have you. But in other instances, he came in and he was just observing. He was barely doing anything. And for the companies where he killed the sous chefs,
so this is multiple companies.
Multiple companies. Yeah. They are understanding. Okay. They understand it. But then the other ones are like, "Hey, you took our guy.
Yeah, why don't you kill my guy?"
Right.
Hate this chef.
Yeah, this chef is not good. Yeah. And like, yeah, and it's a weird thing because like the businesses, they're fronts, but you need to have somebody that can cook the basic dishes. Yeah. So if the police, the FBI, any of these organizations come in, or God forbid, an influencer comes in.
Yeah,
they come in.
They order toast. They get toasties.
Right. They get toasties.
All of a sudden, they're going to be like, "This is a front."
Exactly.
What's going on here?
Once the word on the street gets out that it's a front, you're toast, so to speak.
You're toasty.
You're toasty. Exactly.
So you go from running these restaurants. You flee the country, and how do you end up producing movies in the Czech Republic?
Well, you know, you have to, when you're an immigrant to a new...
producing extremely unsuccessful movies.
Extremely successful, I would say.
By
Czech Republic standards. Yeah. And we didn't really get distribution.
By human standards.
By human standards, Czech
Republic.
Very
unsuccessful.
You know, it's... We have...
What is the total you've made from this movie?
In dollars, euros, or stone coins. Because if it's in stone coins,
what the hell? What is a stone coin?
So a coin that is typically made of stone.
This is caveman money.
I wouldn't say it's caveman money. It's, you know, anybody in, you know, if you go to the Czech Republic, and you go and you find a nice stone, you can polish it.
Uh-huh.
You put a hole in the middle of it. Make it kind of like a small wheel, and then you can trade it to somebody, and you know, they, whether or not they take it, it's up to them. You know, it doesn't have any inherent currency, current like monetary value.
Have they discovered fire in the Czech Republic?
Those
are they still?
A lot of stuff is on fire.
A lot of they're very aware of fire.
Very aware of fire.
And the wheel. How are they doing on the wheel?
Wheel's doing great. Okay, everybody's making wheels.
Agriculture. Do they agriculture? Have agriculture in the Czech Republic?
We got some beets.
Okay.
I believe they might grow wild.
What about bronze? Have they gotten to that point yet?
Oh, plenty of bronze. Okay. Lots of statues. Really, really coming together. One thing that most of the knives in the mm-hmm. Czech Republic made of bronze.
Okay.
So that has been a weird dynamic in our cooking classes because they dull fast.
We've reached exactly the cutoff point. They're in the Bronze Age now in the Czech Republic.
Right. Yeah. Well, just with their metal, they have everything else, but
they have movies.
Yeah, they have movies.
Not around in the Bronze Age.
And typically not. Sometimes people could say like shadow puppets were technically the first movies.
Nobody says that.
I've heard some people say that.
Who?
I mean, it's an old Czech saying.
It's an old Czech saying that shadow puppets are technically movies.
Technically movies, first movies. But, you know, so there's a whole business.
Uh-huh.
You have to get your knives sharpened. If you have to get your knives sharpened, you know, a professional chef, everything like that.
Yeah.
If you have a high quality steel, Damascus steel knife, you only got to do that maybe once a month, once a year.
Do have steel there.
They used to.
Oh.
And see, what I was real smart in doing is we replaced all of the chef's knives in the Czech Republic with bronze. And so now we also own that darn rat associated knife sharpening businesses that come in once a week or once a day in some places if it's busy. And we will sharpen those bronze knives for the business. And that allows us to make even more money.
I mean, that's not bad, but here's what I'm thinking. You show up there with like a pocket calculator. You're now king of the Czech Republic. Your worship, they're like, oh, it's a witch. They've never seen this kind of technology.
Well, they have abacuses there.
Okay.
But
I said pocket calculator. I didn't say abacus.
Well, I mean,
you can't spell boobs on an abacus.
Technically, no, you can't. You technically can't. Depends on the size of the abacus. You could do it kind of.
It
if it was a really
difficult.
Big one, you could potentially.
There'd have to be a lot of beads.
There's a lot of beads on that. But yeah, I mean, I didn't, you know, so I got there and I was looking for business opportunities. I was lucky enough to change my name pretty quickly to fit in. I did not know the language.
You changed your name from.
Not going to say that.
Not
Steve. Definitely not a Steve.
Not George Bush or Zimmerman.
Nope. None
of. I feel like I'm getting close.
There, it's a George adjacent.
George adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you know you would think that you need to know Czech if you're going to move to the Czech Republic.
I would guess that.
And I know none. I've been there for a number of years now. Really what we did is we took the script for Ratatouille. We ran it through a translator, like Google Translate, and just changed a couple things here and there. You know, instead of
the hair to biting.
To biting and, you know, trained a couple rats to be able to do that for us. And then, you know, got some rabies vaccines.
Live action.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have the money for CGI there.
Is it that much cheaper?
Or animation, for that matter.
Is it that much cheaper to train all these rats?
Oh, yeah. There's a huge
CGI?
Yeah, there's a huge rat training contingent in the Czech Republic.
This sounds like a bad place.
It's great. I mean, the sections that I'm in are wonderful. The Czech Republic, I don't want anybody listening to this to think that the Czech Republic is bad in any way, shape, or form. They do a lot of good for the people there.
For the rat community.
For the rat community.
For the mafia, the ex-mafia.
Ex-mafia, the European Union, really doing a lot to keep people employed. And, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful country.
Yeah.
And I would recommend anybody go there. And, you know, if you're there,
the mafia, this is consider the Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place. And, you know, a lot of really fun underground techno clubs, you know, that
when you
alone
say underground, you mean literally like in a big hole.
Well, I mean, technically any basement, any location like that is a whole or was at once a whole. I mean, what does a whole need to be circular? Does a whole need to be square?
I think if you have to get a definition for what a whole is, then the Czech Republic is bad.
There's infrastructure. Okay. There's safety. There's fire codes. Okay. Typically,
but the fire codes don't seem to be working if the whole place is on fire.
Well, that's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun.
Yeah.
They want it to be on fire.
They've
chosen this.
Yeah, it's one of the themes of the clubs, you see, because what you'll do is you'll go to the club, typically underground in a square-type basement structure, and then you will go in and...
Square hole.
A square hole. Very, very deep, you know, like a... I wouldn't say a fortress, but like a factory floor that's been renovated.
And then is there a ladder? Can you get out of the hole once you're in, or do you just jump in? And...
You jump in that hole. You typically walk down a set of stairs. Three. That's the nice thing about the fire code in the Czech Republic. There's always got to be at least three exits for every
hole.
For every hole, for every techno hole. And so if you go in, eventually, if it's a really good club, they gotta insure the money or insure the club. And if it has made its threshold money, they have to set it on fire. And okay. So that way they get their insurance money back and then they can open up another club or a restaurant or a movie franchise investing.
I've seen why this is so appealing to the mafia. This is just a whole country based on insurance scams.
Yeah, so that's
insurance scam based economy.
Exactly. And that's really what we want in, you know, if you look in any movies, even in the United States, you know, I may or may not have been associated with some films here in my prior life. And
Harvey Weinstein. Is that your name?
It is not.
I'm getting closer.
In some ways, yes, in some ways no. And, you know, I've met
George
Harvey.
George
Lucas? No, unfortunately not. I have met George. George, big fan of tax write-offs and insurance fraud. That's how Star Wars actually got made originally. So,
loves holes, too.
Yeah.
Big hole guy.
Big into holes. Some would say that space itself is the ultimate hole. Exactly. You know, no structure on that hole, ever expanding hole.
No fire escapes in that hole.
You know, some... Depending upon, you know...
What would you say is the fire escape of space?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Is it?
I would say, you know, if you needed to escape space because there was a large fire moving, I don't know that there would be a method to escape because the very nature of space is such that maybe an ice planet of some sort, that could potentially
but the
work.
Still in space.
Exactly. See, that's the trouble of it. So hopefully there's no large fiery
in space. No one can hear you violate the fire code.
They can't, but they can hear you violate the fire code.
They can hear you vibrate the fire code.
Exactly.
And what does that mean?
So, they won't hear the fire alarm,
I see.
Right? But they'll hear they'll feel the vibrations of that. And see, that's where you get into the danger because they think, oh, this is, like silent raves. So like a silent rave, like in space, that's all you really can have. You know, you have to have your headphones in, but you could hear the vibrations, feel the vibrations around the ship. And so similar in the Czech Republic, what we try to do is to mimic that as much as possible. So
Czech
there'll
Republic
be a lot of
sort of the space of Earth.
Exactly. Especially down below in the techno clubs and
in the holes.
And you get the techno holes and you get a lot of vibration and people get confused. They think that this vibration is part of the music that they're listening to, part of the design. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just... the fire alarm has been pulled.
You ever have an earthquake and everyone thinks it's part of the music?
Sometimes, yeah. There's been some mild earthquakes. Luckily, the structure of these techno holes is very much up to code. you know, very, there's, you know, gyroscopes?
Sure.
There's a gyroscope section under each hole that will vibrate, adding more vibration, of course, but will keep the hole from collapsing because it disperses all of that energy. And then that actually helps to provide energy to all of the techno holes, to the businesses, to the kitchens, to the knife sharpeners, all of these things.
That's how they power things. Yeah, there's the gyroscopes through the earthquakes and the fire alarms and the vibration from the music. It all just powers.
It's a self-perpetuating cycle.
Perpetual motion.
Effectively, yes. And that's what's beautiful about the Czech Republic. They're trying to, you know, we wish we could bring this out to people in other countries.
There's a real duality to this Bronze Age country that's developed perpetual motion.
And that's what's amazing about bronze, because all of these gyroscopes are made of bronze. And you can't really have that with other metals. But because bronze is so malleable, it allows the energy to move so freely and easily.
This is very interesting. This has nothing to do with that darn cat, but I'm learning some things.
You know, I do what I can to help people in my life now.
Jason Momoa.
No, Jason Momoa. I've met Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa is actually, we're trying to get him in the sequel of That Darn Rat. Uh-huh. And he's been apprehensive. He did not like the idea of getting rabies vaccinations.
Sure.
Because we can't guarantee that the rats don't have rabies.
But you can guarantee that they will bite him.
It's integral to the plot of the films.
So he didn't object to that part.
No, he's fine with that. He just doesn't want to get rabies again.
Again.
A lot of people don't know this, but he actually, and when he was doing Aquaman, and I was not working on Aquaman. I am not a person that worked on Aquaman or Aquaman 2. I just want to make that clear. I definitely not one of those
thought
people.
There's a lot of foam coming from his mouth in the Aquaman 2. Noticed that.
Yeah, he was pretty deep into the rabies during that time when they didn't know it.
Every time he was in the water, he looked so scared.
Exactly, yeah. And that was the issue that they may or may not have run into. Again, did not work on that film. And the people... You know, they thought like, oh, he's just really bulked up. But it turned out that he actually was having a lot of inflammation from the rabies.
I didn't realize it inflamed you.
It can in some instances inflame
it. Should I get rabies?
I mean, if that's something that you would like to do, I mean, and then I, from what I understand, the initial stages of rabies are actually quite pleasurable.
Pleasurable.
Yeah, they can, you know, you can, it opens up your mind and pathways in ways that you don't expect.
You're selling me on this.
Yeah, and then as time progresses, you know, you get the insatiable urge to eat any type of meat.
Should I just become like the Joe Rogan of getting rabies? Like I'm just encouraging all my guests. Just, you got to get rabies, bro.
Yeah. I mean, and like just a little bit of rabies.
Just a little bit of rabies.
Just know
just
how it is.
Micro dose rabies.
Exactly. Because if you microdose the rabies, then you're going to be, you know, when you get the full rabies, it's not going to do anything to you. You're going to be ready for it. You know, just like taking poisons. Are you on a poison regimen?
Of course.
Yeah, good.
I don't want to get poisoned. I gotta build up a tolerance.
Exactly. And that's what we got to do. And
have you gotten rabies from these rats?
I mean, have I gotten rabies? Technically, no.
Okay.
Because the insurance only covers the actors.
Okay.
But yes, I have definitely gotten rabies.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, but not in an official capacity as a producer. I gotta make that clear.
That was in your downtime.
Exactly. I was just on set. I was helping out.
Nothing to do with the movies. You just happened to get rabies.
I just happened to get rabies in the general vicinity of the trained rats that also happened to have rabies.
That you were working with.
That we were working with, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mike Tyson. Is that your name?
Oh, no. I thought you were asking if Mike Tyson had rabies, and I don't know. He has in the past. When he was imprisoned, he got rabies. It was a big problem.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't want to talk about that. I don't know enough about his experience in prison to be able to say exactly how that happened. But that's part of the reason why he got out. He bit Mr. Holyfield's ear. It was a rabies response.
Interesting. I didn't know that you knew so much about rape. You've had quite a life here.
Yeah. I mean, when you are hired by the mafia to run their HR department for various cooking businesses that they have, and other ones, you know, other, you know, you're the go-to HR guy.
Yeah.
You got to know a lot about a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to fill in your chef's.
Be sort of a jack of all rabies.
Exactly. Jack of all rabies. And just be ready to, you know, work with anybody that comes across your you know, your table, so to speak.
Who's the most famous person you've, because you seem like I've had a lot of contact with a lot of celebrities. Who's the most famous person you've worked with?
The most famous person, John Gotti, probably.
John Gotti.
Yeah, I worked with John Gotti for a bit.
That was going to be my next guess as to your name.
Oh, no, not John Gotti. Not an Italian name, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're Czech, so that's...
Yeah, definitely am Czech. I am
you're an American living in Czechoslovakia. Italian... by heritage?
We did my 23andMe, we're looking into buying 23andMe now that they've gone bankrupt, so we can get all our data. That's another thing. We did a lot of data analysis.
Do you think they'll take stone coins for the...
Oh, I'm sure that they will. Their valuation's depleting pretty quick, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. We have some very nice polished stone coins.
Make them an offer they can't refuse.
They could refuse it. They could refuse it. They would want to not do it because some of those coins, they're made of amethysts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them are obsidian, you know, pyrite.
Prettiest rocks.
Yeah. All prettiest rocks, very pretty coins. And so, like, you'd have to do some negotiation to sell them elsewhere. But, you know, they definitely have value if, you know, you want them to have value. And they're polished well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that ultimately, you know, you have to be willing to look at your 23andMe genetic results with an open mind because I am, you know, I
don't think you understand how genetics work.
Yeah, because you see it and you say, oh, I have Neanderthal DNA. And, you know, most people have like 10% Neanderthal DNA. And when I did mine, 97%.
97%.
They're like, how did this happen?
That's too much.
It's too much DNA. It's, you know, you're not even European. You're not even, you're missing link, so to speak. And so, you know, we tried to talk to them to figure out what was going on, but they couldn't explain it. And
what was the other 3%?
You know, it was a mix of, mostly... Canadian, shockingly.
Neanderthal Canadian.
Yeah, Neanderthal Canadian DNA.
Which parent do you think you got which from?
I think I got a fair amount from both.
Okay.
I think, you know, the Canadian part, from what I understand, is somewhat of a rounding error.
Okay.
So there's a chance that I am 100% Neanderthal.
Okay.
But
this is adding up to me. This explains a lot of things about... I didn't want to comment on your features, but it's...
It's a prominent brow.
Prominent brow.
Yeah. You know, I wax quite often.
Yeah. Hairy.
So I do.
You're carrying a club with you?
Well, it's a nice stick. We say nice stick.
Okay.
We are part of Stick Nation here, or at least I try to maintain Stick Nation, Stick World, as it were. And, you know, so you carry around the stick that speaks to you, that makes you happy. And
can I take another guess at your name?
Sure.
Is it Ugg?
You're getting closer.
Grog. Grod.
Nope, I can't say that.
It's something like that.
It's, you know, Grog is pretty close. It's the closest you've gotten. George Grog. You know, it's
Grood.
Nope, not Grood. But we're, you know, again, I will insist that we not try to find my actual name.
Yeah,
I am in witness protection. There are at least three different mafias that are quite keen on finding me and ending me because I did neglect to put their to find a new chef for their restaurants to make sure and control their restaurants.
I'm not making any money off this podcast. If I can turn you into the mafia, that will be the most successful episode of this podcast to date.
Well, I mean, if that's something that you want to do and you want to take,
yeah,
that's definitely something you could.
What is the risk to me? The risk feels like it's all on you.
I would disagree with that. I have provided a lot of information to you and your listeners, so I feel like you're connected to me now, and if I go down, you go down as well, much like a That Darn Rat situation.
I have not seen the movie. I'm not getting the reference.
Oh, well, in the movie, yeah. What happens is the rat, and this definitely did not happen in real life, the rat continues to bite these chefs and put them in a position where they are ready to cook for everybody, but again, they witness something they're not supposed to witness. And the rat is trying to tell them by these bites that, you know, they need to get out. They need to get out of the restaurant. And, you know, ultimately they do. And in the real world, not so much. They were stabbed.
Right.
And so many times.
This feels like a risk I'm willing to take.
Okay.
How much do you think I could get for turning you in?
It depends if you probably, there's three mafias.
Sure.
And, you know, if I know anything about negotiating and business, and I feel like you can agree that I do, it's that you need to work people off one another.
Yeah.
And so if you could, you know, provide information that you knew me, knew where to find me, and
okay,
your assistant clearly knows where to get in contact
can
with
I
me.
Can I guess which three mafias?
Sure.
I'm going to say Italian, Irish, caveman.
Caveman Mafia, that is a rap group, and we would respectfully ask that you not refer to them as a mafia.
I'll change my name. Italian, what did I say? Italian,
Irish,
and 3-6.
3-6 Mafia, yes. You know, there are a number of members of 3-6 Mafia that were quite displeased with some of the service they got at these restaurants. So I wouldn't be surprised, but
hit out on you.
They may have, but I don't know if it's as prominent as the other ones. But yes, Irish Mafia, you know, definitely not particularly pleased with me. Did not do a good job of establishing that restaurant, even before we got the rat chef in there, and he started stabbing people. We just didn't have a good understanding of their food and
not
the food
a lot
culture.
Of great food, not a lot of great McDonald's. That is that Irish? Is that an Irish restaurant?
It depends on how you're filling out your taxes.
Uh-huh.
You could technically say it might be. But it's not a traditional.
You didn't run a McDonald's.
No, I have not run a McDonald's in at least 15 years.
You have run a McDonald's.
I'm not saying that I've run a McDonald's. I'm saying at least 15 years I haven't.
I feel like if you had not run a McDonald's, you would just stop the sentence there. I don't think you'd need the part about 15 years. I think that would be just a given.
Listen, I can you say that you've never run a McDonald's?
Yes. Watch. I've never run a McDonald's.
In the last 15 years?
At any point.
At any point? Are you sure about that?
100%.
Can you confirm that 15 years ago you weren't in charge of the McDonald's on Rosemont?
I can confirm that completely, 100%.
Could you say on the record that you were in charge of the McDonald's on Rosemont 15 years ago?
Is this going to land me in trouble with the 3-6 Mafia?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you should probably admit on this podcast that you were in charge of the Rosemont McDonald's.
What is this you're taking out of you're reaching into your jacket pocket here?
Mm-hmm. If you could sign this paperwork for me, that would be really, really helpful. And you know, we could really use your help, and it could possibly help you make a little bit of money off of this podcast if you were to admit that you were in charge of the McDonald's on Rosemont in the last 15 years.
Okay. So you've got a contract for me, and you're also pulling, it looks like, a gun out of your pocket there.
This is not a gun. Definitely not. It's more of a personal protection device.
It's a brass. Is that a knife shaped like a gun?
Yeah, so it is a brass gun and shoots stone coins is ultimately what it does. So it doesn't, rubber band guns? It's like that, okay. But for stone coins, thus why it is also sharp towards the front. So right. If you have to stab somebody, but that's why there's these two little knives that the rubber band is attached to.
It feels like it's just a gun with just more, you've made a gun more complicated and worse.
You know, people have said that to me in the past, but it's much easier to get this through customs and
it's still a knife.
Security.
You can't just bring a knife onto the
well, that's what's amazing. Let me show you here. Yeah. So these two knives fold up into the square area here. And so then it just it folds down, and then everybody just thinks it's like a brass bar. Okay. But then you unfold it, and you put a rubber band on it, and you can shoot any number of coins at people.
Okay, can you shoot things that aren't coins?
I've never personally tried.
Like bullets, for example.
I mean, you know, it possibly. And I'm very sorry for discharging that just now.
Shooting in my head. Please, I will sign the contract.
Okay, good.
I'll sign it.
You know, and you know, we can determine what we want to throw at shoot.
I'm in the mafia now.
No, I wouldn't say that you're in the mafia. All I'm saying
is made man.
I would say that you were in charge of a McDonald's within the last 15 years, and that you're going to make a little bit of money at a time yet to be determined. When I leave, maybe check under my seat.
Can you get Christina Ricci on this podcast?
Christina Ricci?
That would be a great get.
I've met Christina Ricci.
Yeah?
Yeah, we were in this... I helped her with this... I didn't help her with this movie because I wasn't a producer at the time in America. And I did not work on this movie, but there's this movie where she was in a hotel and she has a bunch of hallucinations. And if you have a migraine disorder or a seizure disorder,
this doesn't sound like this was That Darn Cat.
It does relate to John Cusack though, which I believe connects to the movie.
It doesn't.
That Darn Rat. We got John Cusack.
Another movie I don't care about. That's
yeah,
not.
But I mean, John Cusack is a very talented actor. Amazing what he's willing to do, and how many rats he was allowing to bite him during the filming. Really, such a good get. I can't believe we did that. But rabies also. Yeah. He really took to the needles well.
Okay, well, I got to wrap this up. I am bleeding from my head quite a bit.
Sorry about that.
I need to go to the hospital.
Okay.
But I guess I'm in the mafia now, and I owned a McDonald's 15 years ago.
Within the
last 15 years. Felix, do you have anything you want to plug before I bleed out?
You know, I've heard good things about this gentleman by the name of Matt Storrs in the world. He runs a show at QED, a storytelling show called How Was It? A lot of people revealing their mob ties at that show. He also has a podcast called Mattsplaining where he talks to experts and he tells them what he knows about their areas of expertise and then has them correct him, which is quite fascinating and a lot of good insight there. And I believe he can be found online at MT Storrs.
And this is, you're plugging this guy. Who is this guy?
So he's a talented individual that we came in contact with. He actually helped me escape the United States. Really, really kind man.
I don't think you did a good job because you're back.
I probably should get back in contact with him then.
Yeah,
because I need to leave again. I'm gonna need to get back to the Czech Republic.
You should have him whacked.
Oh no, I could never do that. He's too nice. That would be impolite. I couldn't do that.
You're such a polite mobster.
Thank you.
All right, we got to wrap this up. You can find me on Instagram at Danny Rathman Official. And I got another podcast, podcast all about every Batman movie. We're bringing that back. We're finishing it up. And my special Only Dan's is going to be coming out on YouTube soon. Bye.